Hey, this is Irene. I've been waiting for you. Thank you for joining me, mixing it up with me right here on the mix. You're listening to CBiz Media.
Sending love and prayers for Wendy Williams and the situation with having a guardian, I believe that's what it's called, a guardian over her that is not a part of her family. Saw the documentary and saw that her son was doing the best that he could to help her with her estate. He was also getting guidance from his other relatives as well. So it appeared that things were going better. Things were getting better for her. Her situation is partially brought on by alcohol-induced dementia, which is something I had not known existed. Her sister alluded that there may be even more to it than that, that it might not just be alcohol-related. She's just gone through a lot. She had her talk show and she went through Graves' disease. Later on, she confessed about having a drug problem and being in a sober house. You know, all these things happened to her. And of course, one of the biggest things is the end of her marriage, her divorce. Her husband was really stepping out on her. And I believe that's probably the main reason that the marriage ended. But he was also her manager. He was also, from all intents and purposes, according to her nephew, he managed her life in a lot of different ways, and she really leaned hard on him in the relationship to keep things together. And when that ended, there was just a shift and a change. Then the pandemic came, and I remember even watching episodes of her from home, and I was seeing a little Michael Jackson. Something about, if you think of Michael Jackson in his later days, and there was a bewilderment look on his face, there was something about him where he just seemed like he wasn't fully present. And I felt like Wendy was showing very similar signs. And another connection with Michael Jackson is just having what the family says is a lot of yes men and yes people around that are just doing what they need to do for a paycheck and doing what she asked for a paycheck, but not really taking proper care of her, not pushing back against her, because I mean, it's a boss employer situation. Part of me understands why the employees are yes people. I mean, their job is to do what she needs and wants at will, but seeing that she's impaired, they need to take an extra step to push back. But it's difficult for the everyday person to be able to handle a situation like that. They know she's not supposed to be drinking, and her son made that very clear. So she has guardians over her estate, over the Wells Fargo issue, over her money, and over her just everyday life and well-being. Her niece was very much involved, and she didn't like the new setup with the young lady that was her assistant, and she was taking on all these different things for Wendy, not really sure if she was qualified to be all of these different people and do all these different jobs for Wendy concerning her business affairs and her personal as well. So and some people that worked with her, and of course her family, were saying they could tell a difference. There was a change. Something was going on with Wendy. It was very personal. It exposed a lot. And I believe that she's brave. Her family is brave for coming out with this information. It may be, you know, also for a paycheck. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case, if her money is tied up. And I don't know if they were able to do it and get the money in a way where her money, her name is not directly on the checks, so that they'll be able to have access to the money and distribute it to her in the way that's needed. But I'm on the side of the family, and I just hope the best for her in her healing process. She wants to do a podcast, and I think that would be a wonderful thing for her to do, even in the state that she's in, to have her mind active on something that she's passionate about, that she loves. Maybe she does need someone to redirect her mentally, because some of the things she was saying did not connect fully. And I don't know if everybody would be able to understand where she was coming from. But the beauty of a podcast, in the early stages, they can edit it. They can put it together. It could be a one-on-one personal thing. She can have guests on there as well, but you can have them, you know, sign an NDA, I think is what they call that, a non-disclosure. So they won't put her personal business out there as they're being a guest on her show and respecting her and her privacy. So I think there's a way for her to do her comeback, and that may be the way. And maybe working will help bring her mind and her heart and her passion back, because it sounds like she's drinking a lot of alcohol, and that has become her new passion, her new connection. And if she has something else to replace that, something that she loves, that may be the way to open things back up for her. The documentary ended, I think it was a four-part, I think, documentary, but things seem to be looking up. The family says they don't know what facility she's in, but things seem to be better now that she's there and not in her apartment with people that she has hired looking after her, or so-called guardians of the state, and them also, you know, that she has a guardian, but she also had people, I guess, appointed to look after her day to day. So that didn't seem to be working very well. She was still getting into things. She's not really happy in her situation. She's getting bored. All of those things are negative. And her son says that it was better with the family. They kept her occupied with things to do, things she enjoyed. They had her, they had, she had them as her company. So all of that would be great if that can be an option to return. Shout out to my Fox 2 family here in Detroit, Lee Thomas and Mario Liu. And Mario made a great point saying maybe she does need to do that podcast because this is her passion. She said all she knows is being famous and being on TV. So maybe she should go back to what she knows. But Lee, on the other hand, says, you know, if she just needs to live a private life from here on and stay out of the spotlight as long as she's healthy, maybe she needs to let, you know, the limelight go. And I think they both made great points. But at the end of the day, I would say she really needs to lean towards something she's passionate about, that she loves. And I think that can redirect her. She needs to definitely take care of her body, her health, stay away from alcohol, just do things to help her future. I don't know 100% about dementia. I know that I had a family member that had dementia, and she was an elder in her 90s, a beautiful person in my life. But, you know, everything changed at that point, and she changed drastically and dramatically. And she had gone through some things. She had lost her husband. She had changed her living situation, went to a new state. All of these things can be traumatic for someone in their later years, and even in their younger years. When I think about when I was young and I had moved as a child more than once, going to a new school, all of these stressors and anxiety come on you as a young person. And even as you age and get a little bit older, still moving is a big deal. Just moving alone to a new place, picking up and taking everything. But to go through that, lose a loved one that's very close to you, and you're in your later years of life, all of these things culminating can really do something to you mentally and have an effect on you. And a lot of times we do have these things in our family as well. So is there a way for prevention? I don't see a lot of signs of prevention abilities. Talking to your doctor is very important, especially if you know family members have had this dementia or Alzheimer's or something related to that. But also trying to stay away from stress and anxiety, trying to set your mind up, your situation up, your lifestyle up in a way that you're less likely to have a break of some sort. There are a few times in my life where I feel like I've had a break when it came to traumatic things that have happened, big life changes that have happened. God has kept me, but no one is above a break. Now, I didn't go to the doctors or get any mental health analysis. It wasn't extremely long time ago, but it wasn't as recent as now, where people are really talking about their mental health maybe within the last 5-10 years or so. It wasn't that recent. But again, people of color, we are in a space a lot of times where we don't want to go to doctors. We don't want to expose our issues. We don't trust doctors. There's a myriad of things that go on. Having a good family support system and having God in my life really has helped me. But you know, a lot of times I suffered alone, me and God just walking it out. And to have a mental health professional there could be a blessing and a gift for someone. So I definitely want to recommend that, but I also want to recommend you let God lead you into that person, into that place, and maybe do it before you need it. I also had other health issues. I'm a cancer survivor, and I wasn't keeping up with my doctor, and I wasn't keeping up with my insurance and all of that. And when I needed it, it was like I really had to push to get it, and I had to wait in time. Waits for no man. Time can become an issue when you have a serious emergency-like situation that I had when it came to cancer. And you can have a serious instance when it comes to your mental health as well. You don't know what type of traumas you may go through. Things can happen instantly. You can go through a major accident. You don't know what can happen. So one thing I say is try to get your medical care set up before you need it. If you're a young person, try to get it now. If you're a parent, instill that in your child. Hey, you need to make sure your medical information and your medical insurance and your doctors and everything is set up properly. We need to educate our young people. We need to even educate ourselves in this moment in time. It's not too late for us to get those things together. But also, I pray for the caregivers and those people that are out there looking after their loved ones that are going through these things. It can be hard. It was hard with the person in my life that had dementia, to see them switch so quickly, to see them be so loving, to be someone that I didn't even know any longer. And for me not to know how to handle that, I feel like I didn't handle it in the best way, and I wish that I would have handled it better. But me also kind of being a young person as well, not really familiar with this type of situation. And it was a lesson for me as well. And I think a lesson for my family in moving forward in life is, you know, if this does occur to me or one of my relatives or to anyone that I may come across, to be able to be sensitive to that, to be a little bit more understanding to that. It's not cut and dry. It's not, don't be offended. Don't, you know, that type of person and behavior that Wendy may have. And my loved one could definitely run people away. People don't know what to do. People are being paid to care for her. So they're trying to keep their job and keep their income. So they just deal with the situation. But it's really important, like her son said, Kevin, to have the family support around you, because it's not just about getting paid to do a job, but you love that person, you care for that person, you're going to look for solutions, you're not going to give up, versus someone that may say, well, I can just get another job, I don't have to work with this person, or I'll just deal with this person just for my paycheck, but I'm not gonna, you know, really put everything into it because it's giving me stress and anxiety as well. There's just so many elements to this, and it could be so much confusion, but I'm just sending love and prayers to her and her family in the situation. And, you know, not to look at somebody and gawk at their situation and judge them and put them down. For her to come out with this this documentary the way that she did, I mean, exposing herself. And I don't know exactly if it was fully her or it was a need for money or if the family was involved as well. But whatever the case, it's a learning. It's a learning situation that we can all learn and grow from and not gawk at and not gossip about. Even though this lady was the gossip queen, this is a situation that you don't gossip about. But if you tell the story, you tell it to help someone, you tell it to pray for them, you tell it so that we can heal as a community and society, and we can see these patterns of how we have yes people around when we deal with prominent celebrities, and how they may not be properly caring for loved ones, how the government, how the state can take charge of someone's life and change their life forever. And the family is not able to advocate for their own loved one. All of these things are issues in our society and our communities that need to be addressed. Even if you don't have a prominence, but you're in a nursing home, you're in a facility, again, people are going through the motions caring for you, but not deeply caring for you. Your family members, we're asking the family members to step up, even if it's a cousin, a distant cousin, someone to come in and show a little more care, show a little more support so that this person can be recognized and seen and loved more, because that love can be a healing for them. That love can work miracles for them, knowing that they are loved. They say when people have a partner later in life, they're aging, when they have loved ones around them, surrounding them, their life expectancy is longer because they have people that really care and is going to look out for their best interests. So we have people going through this every day for different reasons and different scenarios, maybe not exactly like Wendy's. But we need to learn from that situation and learn from others that we need to look out for our people. If we have to fight the state, how do we fight the state if it's needed? All of these things need to be looked into, examined, and we need to pray and lift each other up and not run away from this matter. This is a matter, I think about that movie Soul Food, and I think it was referenced in something else that I was watching. And the uncle, you know, was left in the room by himself. Nobody really saw him. They put the food down by the door and left him alone. And I was just thinking he was probably going through those stages and changes of life, his mental health and all of those things. And that's what we do. We let them be closed up in the room and do their thing. And do we really open that door and pay attention? Do we want to open that door and expose them to the world and let people see what they're really going through? It's not anything to be ashamed of, even if it is induced by alcohol or drugs or just something that's happening in your life and you're young or younger, and it's just something that you are going through and you didn't think you would go through at this point in your life. Or even if you're elderly and it's something that you're going through in this point of your life, don't be ashamed of this type of diagnosis. You can live a lifestyle that is rewarding. You don't have to be hidden. Families don't hide your loved ones. Try to protect them the best way you can, but do not hide them. This is something similar that Bruce Willis, they said, is going through, something similar as to what Wendy is going through. So it's people going through this now, and we're getting in the later stages of life, and it's something that just needs to be addressed, something that needs to be prayed about, something that doesn't need to be hidden or shamed. And for some of us, it's a natural part of life. For some of us, it's in our family bloodline. For some of us, it may come on earlier, it may come on later. For some of us, it is induced by alcohol and drugs. whatever the reason or the situation, it may come into your life, and we need to know how to deal with it, how to handle it, how to work with it, and not to feel shame around it or surrounding it. So that's my thoughts on Wendy Williams' documentary. There were times that it was uncomfortable, but you need to feel that discomfort, and you need to know that if you're in that situation, it's going to be real for you, and it's really going to be a discomfort, but it's something that you have to deal with, something that you have to work with, and something that you can handle. That discomfort is something that you can get over and get through, and just learning and getting used to this and seeing this and knowing it's a possibility is something that's going to help our society and help our communities, and even to our celebrities, and especially those of color. We want to rally around them. We don't want them to be manipulated by their situation, by the fame. Alcohol and drugs abuse can definitely be a part of that fame. By just getting whatever they may want or ask, and just the same thing again, like with Michael Jackson, I feel like he was in something similar, and the doctors just did whatever he requested. You know, the doctors need to have a new mindset. That medical industry needs to be worked on. This story just sheds light on so many ills of our society that need to be worked on, that need to be changed. So it's a blessing that this story is out, and I'm hoping that it's a blessing that we get to see Wendy in a healed and better state, whether it's privately and someone shares it in a private situation, where she comes out public with a podcast. Whatever happens, we're praying the best for her, and this is an important topic. This is something that we need to work on as a society, people of color, and just people of all walks of life, because this can touch anyone. Thank you for listening, guys. Thank you for your participating. Thank you for your thoughts. If you have any, you can always email me anytime at cbiztv@yahoo.com. That's cbiztv@yahoo.com. This is Irene. All the best. God bless. And we love you, Wendy.